Let's get rocking!
It's time for the Metal Groove.
We're fighters for truth, justice, and the American way.
A podcast dedicated to music.
Party on, dude!
Extreme close up!
Here's your metal host.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Tombstone Josh.
I'm your Huckleberry.
All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome into a brand new episode of the Metal Groove Podcast. We are kicking off season two, and I couldn't think of a better way to do that than not only to have a great band on the show, but a familiar band, somebody that's been with us in the past. Actually, I looked it up 2 years ago, May 2nd. So we're coming up on 2 years was the last time we talked to these guys. But the name of the band is Hollowed Sky. They are phenomenal. I love listening to their stuff. They're nice guys. We got to have them back on the show, right? They've had so many things going on in the last 2 years. We got to have them back. So welcome to the show. What's up, guys?
What's going on, man?
How you doing?
What's going on, man?
I see one unfamiliar face from the last time, and I'm hoping it's the drummer, right?
That's me.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about, man. I got some things for you later on. But first off, thank you guys so much for doing this. Welcome back onto the show. Reintroduce yourselves, if you don't mind.
Joe, you're first. I'm Joe Bradshaw. I'm the drummer for Hollowed Sky.
Nice.
I'm Stephen Berkeley, and I'm the guitar player for Hollowed Sky.
Charles Rupertus, I play bass for Hollowed Sky.
Awesome, man. Right on, man. That's what I'm talking about. Smooth. All right, so like I said before, it's been 2 years. You guys have been through a lot of changes. Some things have happened. Tell me a little bit about what's gone on in the last 2 years and maybe the direction you're headed in now.
What you take then? Take that one, Charles.
We've had some changes in the band a little bit, obviously. We've been constantly writing music, though. It never stopped us in our process. We have really, that was our main focus the whole time, no matter, you know, any of our distractions or anything else. It was always, you know, we have to keep doing what we're doing, no matter if we have a singer or not. Mm-hmm. But as far as like progress in the music and everything goes, we've really been, we haven't stopped. The progress has been great. And, you know, obviously with the addition of Robin and everything, it's only gotten better.
Good.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, we had some shows booked maybe not too long after we last talked, and, you know, things kind of fell apart with the previous singer, right. Shortly after that, really, it was maybe within a month of the time we last talked. If it was May, I think it was June when it fell apart. So we had some shows booked, you know, with the full band that he just, and things weren't working out. So we just played without him. We played instrumentally. Mm-hmm. And at one of those shows, Robin kind of was playing, her band was playing too. And she kind of like said, hey, you know, I helped her out because I was subbing on drums that day for her band.
Yeah.
And she said, well, if you're going to sub for me, I'll fill in for you for half the set. And she kind of learned a few of our songs and just played the second half of the set with us. And we just kind of planted that seed in her head, you know, for a while.
We never practiced.
That same night. Like, that same night, it just, oh, that's great, man. That's awesome.
It was unbelievable. It was cool. It really was.
Anyway.
Well, that's cool. So what kind of dynamic has that changed as far as the songwriting process or maybe even the, since I didn't know that beforehand because I would have asked that question, but what has she added to the old songs and what has she added to the new songs and as far as dynamic?
If he wants to take it.
Really, you know, lyrically, it has been quite a bit of change. It's a lot different. You know, Jay had a great way of writing his lyrics to the songs and conveying what he felt. And Robin has a complete different way of doing that. But you know, both very talented and very awesome to see what can be done now. We sort of like right in between singers, maybe just before we started changing our sound a little bit. We got some different instruments and
not me.
Steve, no, but Steve's playing a baritone more often now, and I'm playing a five string now that we've
always
that we've changed our sound. Also, like, not knowing that our singer was going to change at that point too, it sort of all happened at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think it's very visible if you, like, you know, if you listen to the music, like, you're going to hear this shift.
Well, Steve totally reinvented his whole sound. Like,
completely.
All your gear, all analog pedals, tube, amp. I mean, it's your completely different setup than you had before.
That is true.
And it all kind of started as like a, hey, what if we covered like a more modern Tool song? Because we did like some older Tool songs like off Undertow. And then that just turned into one thing after another. And the next thing you know, our kind of writing took a little bit of a heavier connotation.
So, yeah, to clarify, we went to learn Tool Parabola. And just so happened that song's in B.
Mm-hmm.
So I started down to my other guitars and they just felt floppy and terrible. And from there, I discovered baritones. And then I kind of went off on that from just that point on. That's all we wanted to use. So every song after that point has been on a baritone, but we still have not performed Parabola, not a single time. So it's funny how it kind of worked
out. That's usually how it goes, right?
But as far as the dynamic, the older songs, you know, we're kind of phasing them out, you know, like it hurts to do it, but it's just weird to have somebody else sing the songs that Jay wrote the lyrics.
Yeah.
It's just weird. So
another thing that kind of sticks out to me that kind of ties all this together with your question is, like, you know, in general, we kind of have a lower, heavier kind of sound on some of those tunes. And then adding Robin to it, she adds an enormous amount of energy, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, she can belt it. And Jay was typically a pretty quiet singer, even live, like a hard time. He sounded great, but recorded, he sounds really, really good. But, you know, we had a hard time sometimes live with him being able to project, and she absolutely projects.
Yeah, she matches and or surpasses our power.
So those two dynamic changes have really kind of, I think, stuck out in our last, whatever, nine tunes that we're working.
That's kind of piggybacks off what I was going to say next, is because I was going to say what I noticed from not only the videos you guys post online, but the song I was sent, is that there does seem to be more of a power, more of an energy kind of. And I don't want to say this in kind of like a downplaying way, because the other singer was phenomenal, but he was almost somber, kind of matching that Tool kind of ambiance. And this one kind of, I don't know if you guys are going to take this the wrong way or not, but whenever I see photos of you guys with Robin, it's almost like an alternate dimension. Like if Paramore was a prog rock band, because she probably gets that. She probably gets that comparison to Haley anyways. But yeah, her power and just kind of like, it's awesome, man. I'm kind of glad that it flowed and it vibed and you guys hit it off like that. That's great to hear.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like it fits so well with what we're doing. Never really thought that, you know, even having a female in the singer band never really occurred to me, but she just like fit. And it was like, wow.
It was instant.
Yeah, it was instant.
You know, I think the only way that it could happen though is like, there is an immense amount of time that we've spent like in bands together, in bands separately, like, you know, us all playing music together has gone on for over 10, 50, sometimes 15, 20 years. I mean, you know, I played in a band with Steve so far back, same thing with Joe in a metal band, probably one of my first bands that I went out and played shows with. Like,
that was like 06.
You know, the amount of time that we've all either been playing together or separately in bands has pretty much been most of our lives. So, like, that all is really what makes, like, the effect of Robin being in a band like that is, it's like all of the years that we may have not had a singer. Like, I played in a band that didn't have a singer for years, just because you don't worry about it and you just do your thing, or you find somebody that can do it. And, you know, sometimes you just don't find that person. So, you know, wasn't going to let that stop me, but here we've been great to have two different singers that have different effects on the music, and still we get to all do our thing, you know, them with us or without, you know.
And not to maybe jump ahead, but to go back to what you asked, you know, our writing process as far as with her, it is a little different. She's extremely busy, so I mean, our writing process is pretty much still the same. Get together every Thursday in the basement, a lot of times riffs will come out from just jams, like 20-minute jams. And like anybody else, you know, we'll pull out the stuff we think is worth re-listening to. We record everything, come back. Lately, I think Steve has come downstairs and been like, yeah, I've been noodling around with this. And like a lot of our stuff has been primarily where you kind of initiated as a riff from home, probably because of the new guitar and new guitars and that kind of stuff.
I've got my reasons to be inspired, but I mean, a lot of times I'll come in with like, it's usually at least two riffs. I'm going to say I really have something that we can work on and arrange in some kind of a loose way. And then we kind of take it from there.
Go to a whiteboard and start writing down letters.
But some songs just come from straight up jamming. I mean, the song I sent you, that really came, it came from a long extended jam. We kind of ended up kind of piecing together in an organized way.
Cool, man. We'll get to that song in a second, though. I just wanted to say while it was on the front of my brain, because I'll lose track. I'm a stupid drummer. So whenever you think of pieces of a band, they're interchangeable. You know what I mean? Except for like what has been successful. Like the first one that comes to mind for me is Van Halen, Singer Change. That's the only one I can think of off the top of my head. And it sounds like you guys might have that same kind of success, kind of like a smooth success, you know? So that's good news. But yeah, let's talk about the new album that you guys, is it close to completion? What are we doing?
We're just talking about that tonight. We're taking a singles approach because we just get better performance on you know, for streams that way. And and the goal really is we want as many people to hear our stuff as possible, you know? But we're maybe 2 to 3 songs away from having enough to like put together as an album. Cool. So yeah, we're not too far off here.
That's good, man. That's good news. All right. And as far as the new song Patchwork Beast, I listened to it probably 6 or 7 times a day while I was out working.
Wow.
The vibe of the song is so cool. It kind of gets you in a vibe at the beginning. You're just kind of chilling and then it kind of takes off. It's a lot of fun. So tell us a little bit about that song and how it came together other than the jam session part of it.
Well, it actually started with a bass riff from, maybe a year ago. Maybe not quite that long, but
it was over a year ago.
It was a jam.
I think you're right. I don't even remember that, but now that you say that, I think
it's probably more like a year and a half.
It was a bass riff that I came up with sitting here at a band practice or at home. I brought it in and was like, oh, I thought this was pretty cool. And we had a jam to it. We had some parts, and then me sort of like just didn't do anything.
Because we were going off on, we were in a really heavy period of writing new stuff at that time, you know, in anticipation of finding our new singer. We wanted to have something for the person to work on.
Yeah.
So we were really just kind of going off and writing. And yeah, that one came from one of the jams during that time. And we kind of came back to it and pieced it together. And
No. Steve came back after we wrote 2 other songs. Yeah. I'm pretty sure we pretty much wrote 2 other songs. And then came back to it. Yeah. And Steve was like, we're doing something with this. You're going to play that. We're going to figure this out now. And I was like, okay, cool. And then it actually turned around being, I absolutely love like what she's done with it, what we did with it. Like, it's a little bit different.
It's like a constant. The song, the structure is weird because it's just like a constant.
It constantly escalates. Yeah, like that song. I feel like it doesn't really drop back down at some point. It's just one.
There's no first chorus bridge. First verse again, chorus again, double chorus. It's not that. It's
we didn't do that intentionally. It just worked out that way, and it was like that's what sounds right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it, man. Is that Roto Toms that kicks it off, or what are you playing at the beginning of that song?
That's just the snare. I leave the snares off until about halfway into the song and then kick them on for
that's beautiful, man. I love that. That's cool. That's great. Yeah, it's a fun song. I can't wait to play it towards the end. What's the song about?
I was just going to say, so because Robin's not here tonight, she told us it's based in Egyptian mythology of the Egyptian god Ammit.
Okay.
And I'm not going to be able to speak articulately about that exactly. Maybe Joe probably knows.
Well, so when she explained, it was pretty interesting, especially once we read the lyrics and totally not what I thought when she explained it, which it's kind of 2 parts. One is like a 50s housewife who's basically abused, you know, by her husband. And then if they both die and what happens when a POS, you know, that walks around with his eyes open like a casket, dead inside.
Oh, geez.
Is basically all of his anger and pain are exactly what Amit consumes. You know, that is the food
for the god.
Wow. Something along those lines.
Is it something about eating?
Describe that.
Souls eating the or heart, something. Yeah.
But yeah, it's something like the Egyptians weighing your soul and against a ostrich feather, and your heart in another, and but, all this stuff.
But the patchwork piece itself, I believe it's like.
I wish he was here to explain it better than
the patchwork piece. It's like a crocodile crossed with a lion and a hippopotamus.
Okay. So
that's why the song is called Patchwork Beast.
Perfect, man. Perfect. Awesome. It's that. I didn't realize it went that deep, but that's really cool, man. It's always fun to learn backstories about songs. Right now, I want to turn focus to the drummer, because he wasn't on the show last time, I'm a drummer. So I would love to hear about your setup and a little bit about your influences, man. So if you could take the floor, please, and talk to me some drums for a second, my friend.
All right. So, you know, very first CD, back when like Sam Goody existed or something in the mall or whatever. In fact, I think it might have been a tape. But you know, Led Zeppelin 4 and Black Sabbath, that was kind of the foundation. And then growing up, you know, a lot of the same stuff like probably everybody was listening to at the time, like from Tool to Smashing Pumpkins to you know, a lot of like mainstream stuff. I got into with a buddy of mine, another band I played in Passage Between. He's real into like hardcore and a lot of heavier stuff. So that's a lot of my influences have come from that. Bands like Acid Bath and Converge and stuff like that. My setup, I, you know, like a lot of people, I started with how much stuff can I pack into one thing? And then the more and more I decided to strip stuff away and go as minimal as possible and using as much dynamic as I can with as little as I can, which also makes, you know, we don't gig a whole lot, but it certainly makes it easier when you don't have to move a 46 tom, you know.
100% understand.
But I have a Baltimore drum company kit that I've had for way too long, but I love it. It's a huge kit, like a 24 inch kick, 15 inch rack tom, 18 inch floor tom. I just got that the Trick snare. That's a 10 inch deep, 14 inch Trick snare. I love it. It sounds really good. In fact, I was really worried about recording these last couple songs with that snare because I loved the other snare that I was using. I'm trying to remember what it was. but I really loved the way this turned out recording wise. I was like, it was such a relief when I first heard the drums mixed. I used to use all Peisty 2002 series, but they're expensive and I break them all the time. So yeah. I still use a 24 inch ride. I love the bell for the 2002 series.
Perfect.
$450 or whatever it is, a pop gets expensive, but they tend to last a little bit longer. And then I just recently switched to some Meinl cymbals. And I think they sound really good.
Yeah.
They're half the price of what I was paying before. I don't feel as bad when I break them. I break stuff a lot.
How many sticks did you break tonight?
Way too many. Yeah, and I like usually that only happens if I'm like drinking liquor or something, but for some reason I think I broke like 5 sticks tonight. That's very unusual for me. For the most part, I just started using these Clear Sound Shields. These guys seem to think that they made a big difference. I think it also helps a lot. We've only played like 2 shows with them, but I think that it helps the singer a little bit. It's a little less of that abrasive impact. It's just, you know, it's you're not muffling the cymbals, but you're bringing them down just enough in volume, and I think that's really helpful.
Well, especially down here. The harsh frequencies get kind of scampered by those.
But that's kind of where I'm at with that. I don't know.
Perfect. No problem. I do have a question. I didn't know Tool was already in your back pocket as an influence coming up. So I was going to ask about learning off time things and maybe how you're, like whenever it comes to writing your parts to a song, do you have to jot them down bar by bar or do you go note by note? How do you?
No. So I can't read staff music and that kind of, I mean, years ago I used to play piano and I could actually read music, but that's been a long time ago. I'm very just kind of off the cusp, kind of a jam drummer. And like probably my favorite part about this process, and especially in this band, is like every time we record everything, every practice. We got a pretty good setup down here. We get a pretty good practice sound. And I'm always kind of fine tuning and changing the stuff. You know, you kind of grind it down into it becomes this diamond where you're like, that's the role yeah. I want, or that, or like, I don't want to do a role there. You know, that's kind of like my favorite part of this is like, and then when you a lot of times when I go to record it, I don't know exactly what I'm going to do. I have a good idea, but there might be some loose ends, you know, sometimes like 8% or something might be like, we'll see what happens on this take or that take. And then whatever it is, like in the end, we're like, oh yeah, that's it. Then I'll remember that and learn that part.
Do you go out of your way to stay out of the pocket, or do you try to balance it out?
You know, that's a good question. So like, I think it changes. I think it depends, like, again, very feel based. A lot of times I'll try to lock in with what Charles is doing, let the guitar kind of stand out, do its thing. You know, music being a conversation all the time, know when to talk, know when to not be loud, know when to just lock in with, you know, the guitar. And I tend to gravitate a little bit more towards like locking with the guitar. I think just because of jamming with guitarists for a long time, something I'm always trying to get better at is more like being the rhythm section. But as far as like odd time signature stuff, like I love that. I have this weird 3-4-5 thing that I was messing with. I've actually used some parts of it on a couple of our other songs in the past.
Cool. Perfect, man. Appreciate you sharing all that drum talk with you, man. I like to have that kind of back and forth sometimes. Well, you know what, guys, getting towards the end of this thing, I like to wrap this up. I'm very grateful for you guys doing this. It's like the gratitude of just being able to interact online and talk to you guys is awesome. So maybe if you could tell me a couple things you guys are grateful for as far as the band or as far as, you know, the music that you have going on right now, just kind of share a little bit of what you have some gratitude for.
Gratitude,
man. You know, I love what we're doing. Yeah, 100%. You know, it was funny. We didn't have practice last week. You know,
I was sick.
Still
feeling it.
You know, it's like you almost feel like something's off if you don't do it. You know, we're at a point like, you know, sometimes it can be a grind. Sometimes it can be, you know, like playing shows and doing this and doing that. You know, every once in a while, like, man, you know, with everything else you have going on in life, like, it can be a lot, but at the same time, it's also like the most fun thing I feel like that we all do, like
great creative release and,
you know, you
physically, like, and mentally and everything. Really,
I noticed that I thoroughly miss that we don't practice 1 week, you know?
Yeah. You feel it if you ever have to miss, which is somewhat rare. We practice most Thursdays.
Oh yeah.
But whenever we miss, you feel it. You feel like you feel like you haven't had your therapy that week.
It's usually a really good practice when we don't have one for a week. I guess it's because it's kind of like this pent up energy of like anticipation or whatever. But like,
and sometimes tonight I thought it was really good. Sometimes an off week is good.
Yeah.
You know? We don't usually do that.
We usually don't.
Yeah.
But I love the direction we're going in. I think we're going to continue to put out really hopefully very interesting stuff. Nothing wrong with kind of reaching outside of your, you know, comfort zone. I feel like we're pretty much always kind of changing that. I do feel like I need to get a new kid at some point.
I want to quickly shout out our mix master. Between last time we talked and now, you know, we still record all of our stuff, but we have somebody else mix it for us.
Oh, sweet.
And his name is Jeremy Hayes. Cool. And he does a great job, and we're really, you know, happy with his work.
Super.
I just wanted to shout him out.
Huge help.
Yeah.
Huge help.
That's awesome, man. That's cool, guys. So please remind everybody where they can keep up with everything that you guys have been going on, where they can hear this awesome song that's coming out on May 1st.
Man, May 1st, like, yeah. I mean, you know, we're on all the socials, Instagram, Facebook.
Helmsguy.com.
The platform formerly known as Twitter, that we now call X for whatever reason. We're on all
the calls it Twitter.
And we have our own website, Helmsguy.com, that you can, you know, find all our information on as well. And we're very active on social media, so, you know, we'd love to hear from you. And make sure to follow us on your streaming service of choice, Spotify, Apple Music, whatever you use, because new music's on the way.
Cool, new music comes out about every month and a half, 2 months or so, right around. About.
We'll see what happens.
That's what the trend's been lately. It changes, but
let's say 1.5 to 3 months.
There you go. Perfect.
That's perfect.
There's always something coming up, so.
We're not about. Make sure you guys keep your eyes and your ears peeled for everything that you got going on. Please support them. Please check them out on social media. Please listen to the song, stream it over and over like I did today. I listened to it a couple times. Like I said, it's awesome. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with me, man. It's a blast as always. And I'll stay in touch.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Thank you.
I'm glad we could do it.
Hey, man. Stay metal, right?
Right on. Eyes open like a casket.
That's the show for this week. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Please make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. And join us here at the Thrill Me Podcast Network, where you can check out phenomenal shows like Haunters Podcast, The Review of Rob Show, The Mr. Wonderful Show, and Core Memory Unlocked. We greatly appreciate you, and until next time, stay metal.